The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers at their business. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all, with the sheep and oxen, out of the temple. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these things away. You shall not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign have you to show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he spoke of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Church celebrates on November the 9th a feast in honor of the dedication of a specific church in Rome, St. John the Lateran Basilica. It's an ancient church. It goes back almost 2,000 years. It was given to the Catholic Church by the Emperor Constantine in the early 300s AD, and the property had been owned by a family with the last name Laterani, and so the name stuck with the basilica. It's a church dedicated to Christ, the Holy Savior, to St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. It's one of the Pope's major churches in Rome. And I went to visit it several years ago, and it's an amazingly beautiful church. And when you go into the church, you feel a profound sense of awe at the majesty of the building, but more at the majesty of the God to whom this building points. The church has some of the remains of the apostles, St. Peter and St. Paul, and it's enormous. It's very beautiful, a place where it's easy to pray. Now, one may wonder, though, why do we even have a feast day celebrating the dedication of a specific church building? After all, it's just a building. This feast day is not about a mystery in the life of Christ. It's not about Christ or directly about his birth or his resurrection or something. It's not about one of the saints or the angels. It's about the dedication of a church building. Well, the importance of this particular building is something that can actually help us. There are three things that stand out when I think of this feast day. One of the things is that the celebration of this specific church in Rome connects us with the universal church. As I said, it's one of the major churches that the Pope uses, but it's a church that represents, in a way, the universality of the church. This feast day is celebrated all over the Catholic Church, and it reminds us that we're all part of this one church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We're not alone when we live the Catholic faith. We're really not. We're part of this great family of grace and truth. Secondly, the celebration of this feast day reminds us of what the church calls the incarnation. The word incarnation has to do when God became human, and that truly happened. When the angel came to the Blessed Virgin Mary and told her that she would conceive and bear a son and name him Jesus, and she said yes to the angel's invitation, at that moment began the wonder of the incarnation. We're now within the womb of Mother Mary is now the unborn baby Lord Jesus. He is there, God with us. The incarnation is really all about God being with us. And when we think of a church such as the St. John Basilica in Rome, but we also think of any Catholic church, that reminds us that Christ is with us now. Every time we go by a Catholic church, it's a good idea to make the sign of the cross. First of all, to honor the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and also to remind ourselves that Christ is here, that he's with us. Catholic churches scattered throughout the world remind us that God truly has pitched his tent in this world, in this timeline, in our own lives. Christ is our contemporary, and he is with us now. And thirdly, and this is something we don't always think about immediately, is that through the church, we encounter the Lord Jesus. We need the church in order to encounter Christ. Take, for example, the sacraments, beginning with baptism, and then the other sacraments, confirmation, going to confession, the Holy Eucharist, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus, anointing of the sick, holy matrimony, and holy orders. We have to go to the church to receive these sacraments. The word of the Lord comes to us through the church. You know, it was the Catholic Church that put the Bible together and told us and confirmed to us with the authority given to it by Christ that these books are the word of God and we can trust this word. And also through the church we encounter God's people. There was a saint many years ago who said that we encounter Christ in his incarnation, that's how he came to us, but also he comes to us through his people who follow him. Now, in the gospel that is appointed for today's Mass, which I just read to you, Christ shows that he values the temple. He refers to the temple as his Father's house. It's the house of his Father. Now, that's interesting because here we have Jesus who is consubstantial with the Father. He's of the very same substance, the very same life as God the Father. And he says this temple is his Father's house. And that should remind us of the great reverence we ought to have in the church. The temple is sort of like the church of the Old Covenant, and our Catholic churches today are the church of the New Covenant of Communion with the Most Holy Trinity. And we should have a great reverence in these churches. See, what happened is that many worldly practices began to take over the life of the temple. And Jesus didn't want that. And that's why he went there, made the whip of cords, and he drove the people out. He didn't want them to turn the temple into a place of trade. He didn't want them to turn his Father's house into a place of worldliness, a place that no longer leads people to God, but just leads people to themselves. Here is a good lesson for us. And this one is important. We need to allow Christ to cleanse our lives of worldly attachments. You know what happens? People hear this gospel and they immediately think, oh boy, Christ has to cleanse that person over there and that group there, and this section of the church has to be cleansed by Christ and that section. But we have to be humble and say, you know what? I need to let Christ cleanse my life of any worldly attachments, especially of sin. St. Paul talks about our lives, and he says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. It's like our very lives are a temple. And the foundation of our lives has to be Christ. Now, I'm no architect, but a church or any big building needs to have a strong foundation. And every part of that building has to have a right relationship with the foundation. Foundation is very important. St. Paul teaches us that the foundation of the temple of our lives has to be Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's got to be the foundation of our life. We can't just say we're Christians and sing that Christ is the church's foundation. He really has to be our foundation. We have to let him be our foundation. We have to have a right relationship to this foundation. We're connected to this foundation, who is Jesus, by, first of all, our faith. So we have to really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that belief has many consequences to it. It means we trust him. It means that we want to know his word, because if he's the Lord, we've got to know what he teaches. It means that we believe that he is guiding the church. If the church goes through difficulties and challenges and all kinds of problems, our confidence is in Christ himself. We believe that what the church teaches, as it's contained in the Catechism, is true because Jesus Christ is Lord. Next, we are connected to this foundation through the sacraments. A Catholic is someone who needs to live a sacramental rhythm of life. Begins with baptism, but what that translates into is frequent reception of Holy Communion and frequent reception of the sacrament of reconciliation, bona confession. That's got to be part of our life. Then, our next way of our contact with this foundation, of building this right relationship to the foundation who is Christ, is morality. Morality is something that's not theoretical. It is life. And we live this every single day. And don't think for a second that we don't. Some people think of morality as a class you take. But no, this is life. It's the Ten Commandments. It's the life of virtue. And we need to live this. This is how we connect to the foundation, to have that right relationship to Christ. And we have our contact with this foundation through prayer. Prayer is to the soul what breathing is to the body. We need prayer. Now, if we were to get rid of one of these things or all of them, faith in Christ, the sacraments, conversion and morality, or prayer, then we would lose very quickly our right relationship to the foundation. Maybe for a little while we can get by and the structure of our building seems to stand, but part of the building, it doesn't have a right relationship to the foundation. The storm comes and the earthquakes and down it goes. Well, we're talking about our lives before God. We cannot lose this connection to our foundation. Faith, the sacraments, conversion and morality, prayer. All these things keep us in a right relationship to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, Christ has to be the foundation of our lives, really, which means he's got to be the foundation of our actions, of our priorities, of our words, of our relationships. Let's think of some examples. Let's suppose someone were to use the name of our Lord in vain every single day. That's a grave sin, by the way. It's the second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's pretty high up on the list of the commandments, isn't it? And there are people, even in the church, who use the name of the Lord in vain all the time. Well, if they do that, you know what that means? It means that their use of words is not founded on Christ. Doesn't have Christ as the foundation. Or if someone lies every day, or every week, or every month, and begins to get to the point where you know everything this person says is a lie. Well, there again, their use of words is not based on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. How about our priorities? What if we put something above God? Which people do. People say they don't have time to pray or to go to Mass, but they have time to sit in front of a television all the time or be on Facebook all the time. Well, that says that Christ is not the foundation of your priorities. Your priorities aren't right. How about our relationships? What if someone was involved in impurity and unchastity, or someone was rude to people and abused people and treated them as objects or slaves and bullied people around? There, their relationships don't have Christ as the foundation. And any of these ways can lead to the collapse of the structure of the church of one's life. Our foundation has to be Jesus Christ. Just like the basilica in Rome, the foundation is strong. Well, Christ is our sure foundation, and we have to be connected to him and have a right relationship with him. A sacred church, such as that basilica in Rome, makes the world more beautiful. But a holy life devoted to Jesus Christ does so even more powerfully. Do you know what has really tarnished the beauty of the Catholic Church and continues to tarnish its beauty and sometimes makes the church look ugly? Is the sinfulness of the members of the church, lay people or clergy or religious or whoever. Sinfulness among the members of the church is like going into a beautiful basilica and just messing it all up and just littering there and dumping all the garbage there and just leaving it on the floor. It's ugly. It tarnishes the beauty of the church. It's not appropriate. Well, we have to see that a holy life really makes this world more beautiful. You know, a beautiful church reminds us that God has walked on the earth. If you could take all the churches, Catholic churches in the world, it's like showing that Christ has been here. He has visited his people. And the people who go to that church and are devout and humble and holy know that he has visited them. And they seek him always. Well, a holy life, a life lived for Christ, makes this world more beautiful, even more powerfully than just the church. Dear brothers and sisters, we should allow the beauty of a church, especially this basilica in Rome, to inspire us to set our lives on the foundation who is Jesus Christ. With Christ as the foundation of our lives, we can weather all of the storms of this life's journey, including the storm of death. But we can weather these storms with hope and with confidence. But not only that, when our lives are set firmly upon Christ, then we ourselves become like little churches all over the place that go throughout the world and remind others that God is our Father, that he loves us, we can trust in him, that his plan for us is beautiful, and that if we say yes to his word, we'll be on the path of holiness, the path of happiness, the path of joy. And we can help people to come to understand that the Lord Jesus is with us, that we should love Jesus, honor him, and do his will. We have no idea. We have absolutely no idea how many people look to us. Just as we look to a beautiful church to inspire us, to remind us of God's majesty and his presence among us, so too there are people who look to your life to inspire them to understand the greatness of our God. So, brothers and sisters, live a holy life. Be personally devoted to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not only will your life be strong, and will you find the happiness that this world cannot give or cannot take, but you may help so many others find the path to the Lord and one day enjoy his presence in the kingdom of heaven. God bless you.